Hello and welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast. She Reads Truth creates beautiful, accessible Bible reading plans and resources to help you get into God's Word every day. Each week here on the podcast, we talk about what we're going to read together as a community this week. I'm your host, Amanda Bible Williams.
And I'm your other host, Rachel Myers. And this is week 7 of our Lent series. And we are all finished with 1st and 2nd Chronicles. We wrapped those up last week. Good job, Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm a little sad.
I am too. I really enjoyed that series. I say that like I'm surprised, but maybe a little. I'm a little surprised. Yeah. But it was incredible. This week, we are in, like I said, last week of Lent, which means Holy Week. And that means that we are going to be walking from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday and all those events in between. And we are joined by a fantastic guest for this week. Cori Robertson is joining us. She is, of course, wife to Willie Robertson. You know the Robertsons probably from Duck Dynasty and all of the beautiful ways that they are in service of the Lord and all the ministries and outpourings of that family. Cori is also just a good friend and someone who loves Scripture. And really, those are the things that we're looking for when we invite any guest on the podcast. Do you love Scripture? And she does. And she is a fantastic guest for Holy Week. Y'all are just going to enjoy this, and let's get right to it. Cori, it is so good to see you. Thank you so much for being our Holy Week guest this week.
Thank you for having me. This is just really an honor and also humbling to do Holy Week. Wow. The culmination of everything in Scripture. So this is a big one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, listen,
the thing that we free ourselves from is feeling like we have to like talk about everything that's in this week's reading or anything like that, because y'all listening know this, but that's not the point.
Yeah. And how could we?
Yeah. We could not accomplish that in an hour. But the point of this episode, y'all know, is that we just get to get you excited about the week ahead. I don't know if excited is the right word, but just really like encourage you towards Scripture and invite you into Scripture.
We get to delight in Scripture together. In some weeks and some passages, that's a more sobering task, but I think it's still delighting.
Like, I agree.
This is our true, you know, it's our family history, right? As the people of God. And that's what we talked about, Cori, for the last 6 weeks. We've read through 1st and 2nd Chronicles and just this kind of history book of God's people and our collective unfaithfulness and forgetfulness and God's steadfastness and faithfulness to his covenant. And so you're right, like all of that, everything that we've been reading for 6 weeks, ultimately, like all of Scripture, points here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's been, I have enjoyed reading it again, of course, and in preparation for this conversation. And it's just like all the emotions, I feel like, in this week, it's like there's so many emotions that you feel in reading through this. You know, it's that like sadness at us not understanding, you know, the fact that Jesus is here on earth and like his disciples are with him every single day and don't quite still get it. And, you know, and then that all of the feelings and the feelings of the Pharisees and how they, you know, are treating him when he's like, Jesus is here on earth, just loving people and doing these miracles and they still hate him. And then just, I just felt like, I don't know, there's so many emotions. And then whenever Jesus says the words to his mother, you know, and takes care of his mom at the last minute, like right before he goes, it's just like, oh, I just felt all the emotions. So I'm excited to talk through them with you guys today.
Yeah. It's interesting, I guess, in some ways, like Advent and that like final week of like Christmas week of Advent, the Scriptures are very familiar as believers.
Like the nativity story.
The nativity story is familiar to us. And these Holy Week Scriptures that we'll be talking about and that our friends listening will be reading this week, they're familiar. And I think that one of our greatest challenges over the last 6 weeks has been, these are unfamiliar Scriptures.
Yeah, that's a good point.
and so that was challenging. And this, the new challenge is, how do I soften my heart and enter into familiar Scriptures in a way that asks the Holy Spirit to teach me and show me new things?
Well, and I think that's...
Or not even like show me new things, I guess, because like these
same things. I know what you're saying.
Things,
I hear the spirit of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because that's how Scripture is. Like it's living and active, right?
Exactly.
In the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, he engages our hearts in different ways, because how could we understand it all at once, right? Like we're like the disciples, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and there's a point where Jesus says, I give you this new command, which I'm sure we'll get to as we have this conversation. And I was like, wait a minute, what about this command is new? You know, and so I had to go back and like study a little bit and be like, wait, how have I read this over and over again and really not thought about that? He says, I give you a new command.
Mm, yeah.
And what is new about this? You know, because he said something similar before. So I just felt like, yeah, God revealed new things to me over yeah. this past week because I've been really diving into it. So
yeah. That's good.
I love what you guys are doing and just am honored to be a part of it today.
Oh, well, listen, this will be good. I'm excited.
This is so fun.
Y'all listening, if you didn't listen last week to our episode with Dr. George Grant, I want to encourage you, if you have time, to go back and listen to that episode, because not only does it conclude Second Chronicles for us, but at the very end of the episode, or kind of that second half, Dr. Grant draws some big picture, like big scope of redemption story connections for us from Chronicles to Revelation. But then at the end, he
casually
gave us the history lesson from, you know, in the Hebrew Bible, the Chronicles come at the end. And so what happens in history, in world history, between then and, you know, 33 AD or right around that time. And so it's a worthwhile listen because you're going to understand the timing that we've just jumped out of and everything that has transpired and now where we are. This all happened on the timeline of history.
Right.
And that's good to remember, but also just the context has shifted.
Yeah. And I think, like, to your question of how do we approach passages that for some of us are familiar, or at least, you know, we have four gospels in our Bibles. And so the stories are familiar. And sometimes, you know, I did notice this week that I was reading like a different part of the account of the resurrection, for example, than like what I would normally like my go-to. And I even had to grab my Bible and look and go, wait, I thought John 20 said this. And it's because we were focusing on a different part of it. And so that is helpful mm-hmm. to kind of have a different curation of Holy Week scriptures. But I think too, a way that we approach any familiar scripture, it is shaped by the context of what we as daily Bible readers, regular Bible readers, what we have been reading, you know, before we get to the passages that we're in. So for us, that is First and Second Chronicles. Mm-hmm. And so as I was reading through this week's scripture, it surprised me again. How long will we continue to be surprised by how amazing scripture is? But I was surprised by how many ties back to First and Second Chronicles I felt like I was seeing having just read through it. And so I'm excited about all of us as a community walking through this week with Chronicles fresh on the brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. So if we are starting at the beginning, at Palm Sunday, and looking at this, Corey, when you were growing up, did you have like an Easter pageant at your church?
Oh, I just pictured little Corey.
We did not. I did play Mary for the Nativity.
Oh,
and
I like
John
that.
Luke, our son, was baby Jesus 1 year. So we always did the Nativity. But I don't know. I don't think we did.
I grew up with a little pageant at our church, and like people that typically, you know, are the ones that are just sitting in the pews were the ones in like Bible costumes coming mm-hmm. down the center aisle shouting Hosanna and all of that. And so like when I read this, I picture, you know, Aunt Annette waving uh-huh. a Hosanna branch, uh-huh. you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, but let's zoom into the reality of it. Corey, will you read for us? Like, let's just get started and jump in. Will you read the triumphal entry for us? Maybe John 12, starting in verse 12 through 15.
Sure. The next day, when the large crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. They kept shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.
There's that king language.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Coming right out of Chronicles and seeing this, like, we talked last week about the independent three offices in the Old Testament of prophet, priest, and king, and how even like, I think it was King Uzziah who like lived a good life and like reigned well, right at the end was like, I'm actually going to enter the sanctuary and help out as priest for a little bit too. That was a wrong answer. Like, you right. can't be the king and the priest. And it's interesting. We had a whole conversation about that last week, but coming into this, and Corey, you reading mm-hmm. that and like seeing that king language, it's like, oh, now we're at the place where we are reading about the one, the man, the God who is all three, and like seeing this, your king is coming to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yes. The true mm-hmm. and better, yeah. as we like yeah. to yeah. say.
I was thinking about, too, a lot of times, I think when we think about Jesus, we think about him with his 12 disciples, and it's like this little intimate, and there was that part of it that was intimate with his disciples, and he went away. But then there was also the part of Jesus that, like, there were people, crowds of people following yeah. him and surrounding him and praising him and, you know, kind of understanding, like, whoa, this is, something is different about this man, you know. Mm-hmm. They didn't quite understand the whole thing, but they praised him. And yeah. there were just crowds and throngs of people. And I don't know, that just made me just envision that moment just before what's about to happen, yeah. where there's crowds just adoring him yeah. for who yeah. he is.
So as you keep reading in John 12, we're reminded of something that just happened, which is Jesus calling Lazarus out of the tomb and resurrecting yeah. Lazarus. And that was so disruptive. You know, in like the news traveled and everybody's like, what is happening? And so it says here, well, first it says in verse 16, what you already pointed out, Corey, that his disciples did not really understand. And it does give us this, what I think is a sweet nugget that it says, like, later when they see him glorified, mm-hmm. they'll look back and remember this moment, mm-hmm. which I love, you know, thinking about that continuity. But it says that there's this crowd that had been with him since he called Lazarus out of the grave. So this caught everyone's attention, and they had been following him because they had done this sign. And the Pharisees, like you also mentioned, are so upset and saying, you see, like the world is going after him. And the subtext here is we've got to stop this mm-hmm. because the world is going after this person who is, as we'll see as we keep reading, claiming to be the Son of God. And yeah, I mean, it is like, it's very, I have a tendency to tame scenes like this in my mind as I'm reading them because they're familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
It helps me to think of it like a movie. Like we talked a little bit about, was that last week? Mm-hmm. But just of how like these are real people, real crowds.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what to do with Jesus. But you know what they did know is that he had just raised a man from the dead. And so what did they cry out to him? Hosanna, which means save us. Mm-hmm. Save us now. We want that.
Yeah.
What you gave him, like we want that.
And what they don't realize that they're asking is like what it's going to take
right.
to save them. And right. I mean, even like looking like just a little further, like we could stay in John 12 this whole hour if we wanted to. But I'm very, very engrossed in the study of gardening at the moment.
Oh,
like
uh-huh.
deeply.
Springtime.
I know. I would like to build a garden this spring, and I'm going to do my best to grow these seedlings, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. these plants from seedlings. We will see how that goes. But reading the way that he predicts the crucifixion, his crucifixion, it's gardening language, where he says in verse 23, Jesus replied to them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. The one who loves his life will lose it. And the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life."
You know, on one very real hand, we no comparison, right, between yeah. us as Jesus followers and Jesus himself. And on the other, that is what we're called to, and that's what he does. You know, we're going to hear him use language when Jesus just praying for us
yeah.
And for his disciples, and using words like, you know, sanctification and, you know, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Like, that is what Jesus does. And that is what God's word does. And the Holy Spirit does in us is molds us into Christ's likeness. And so when we turn the page to what is will be today's reading on here on Monday, and we see Jesus, the true and better King.
That's right, yeah.
Use his power and authority to stoop down and wash very dirty feet of
after
his
everything
disciples.
That we've read about all the kings of Israel.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we see this king, the king we are to follow, and the king
who says he can save us.
Right. Who can save us and of whose kingdom we are a part.
Yeah.
Right. He washes his disciples' feet. And I have to imagine if we were there, mm-hmm. guess what he would have done?
Mm-hmm.
He would have washed our feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just, it's really sobering.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to experience that, some friends washing our feet actually together, Rachel, and I just wept because you just realized the, I don't know, the just the servant heart of Jesus in that moment when someone else washes your feet, you just feel really humbled by that. And I love, you know, Peter, when he's just like, no, don't wash my feet, because he feels like, you know, that's too much. Like, I can't let you wash my feet. And then when Jesus rebukes him, he's like, wash all of me. He was like, okay, I want you to wash all of me. Peter. I thought that was so beautiful the way he did that.
Yes. Yes.
He's such a pendulum. He's like, I'm over here. Yeah. I'm over here.
Don't do it. Okay. Do everything.
Yeah.
It also strikes me in thinking of how, you know, kings and with power and authority, like, to have your feet washed is a very vulnerable thing for the person whose feet are being washed, right? Like, it's very intimate. It's very, you're very exposed and vulnerable. And yet with Jesus, that exposure, that vulnerability is completely safe.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are safe under his authority and power. And it's very different. Not even, I mean, yes, for what we've read in Chronicles, but, you know, even like power structures today, it's like even the best, even the best of the best, it's hard to imagine that kind of dynamic. I'm just flipping the pages thinking,
I know.
You're going to get to read so much good stuff.
I love that in John, the very beginning of John 13, the end of verse 1, where he says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so beautiful. And just thinking about us and, you know, the people that we love on earth and how just loving them till the end, and what a beautiful example Jesus was of that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that verse 3, like Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God and that he was going back to God. So he got up and he washed their feet. Just so stunning.
We will all read John 13, Judas's betrayal predicted, Peter's denial predicted. Those are things that you will read on your own. And I think probably spend some time processing through. But then as we turn our page to John 14, and Jesus promises his presence, it's interesting that that presence of God that we've been reading about in the Old Testament and this, you know, the dwelling place of God.
Temple, yeah.
And then he promises his presence. Like, he promises that, like, we get this full access as our priest.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to read some of that?
Yeah, I was thinking about how significant, you know, all of these words of Jesus, like every single one of these words of Jesus are, because these are like his last, this is his parting words, like what he wanted his disciples to hear before he leaves them, and how important it is. And I noticed too in reading this time, it's just like how many times he repeats himself. He kind of says the same thing over and over. He's like, I need you to get this. Like, the Father is in me and I'm in the Father, the Spirit, you know, that oneness.
Yes.
Of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Like, he really wanted them to understand that. And I felt like, you know, I just kind of like, as I was reading, I was like, oh, I'm reading this over and over and over again. Like, this is so important that we understand that oneness. And then he gives us the command, like, be one as I and the Father and the Spirit are one. And it's like,
that's right.
Oh, this is like,
that's good, Corey.
This is a big part. And then the other thing I felt like I just kept hearing him say, and is love one another. Like, I love you, and that kind of like, oh, this is a different kind of love. This is like a sacrificial love. This is not just like what the love that you see in the world. This is much deeper. And I'm calling to you a much deeper love for one another. And then I felt like I heard him say so many times, it's just that like obedience, like love comes with obedience. Like,
that's right.
Obey my command, follow my command, do not turn away from my command. You know, so many times I feel like we just want to say like, oh, it's all about love, you know, and it is. But he's like, he actually reminds us a few times in here, is like, you love me if you do what I say.
Yeah. Yeah. You're exactly right.
I was struck by that.
Yeah. Yeah. In John 15, so many beautiful passages. So John 14, we get like, we'll read where Jesus says, I am the way, where Thomas says in John 14, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way to where you're going? Because Jesus had said to them, you're going to be there too.
Yeah.
And he was like, we can't go. We don't know the way. And that's where Jesus says, I am the way. Like, I am your priest. Mm-hmm. I am the way to the Father. And then in John 15, that beautiful analogy of the vine and the branches, in verse 9, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And so that's exactly right, Corey. I mean, I hear that drumbeat too through this of like, this is actually how you love me. Mm-hmm. You don't just love me by saying that you love me. You love me by keeping my commands. And and that's also how you remain in my love. And like, I was thinking back to our reading of Chronicles and how when a king on behalf of his people turned away from the Lord's ways and did not remain in God, in God's ways, that did not go well for them. And then when they returned and sought to remain and made that through all like ways of rightly worshiping and through obedience. And it's not just, well,
and
I'm
removing idols.
Right. And removing idols. It's not just that like God's like, oh, good, you're obeying me. So now I bless you. The obedience is the blessing. Mm. The abundance comes in the obedience. And so to see how that played out on like a in nations, in Chronicles, like this plays out in the trajectory of nations and in the people of God, this is also a true principle for us individually and intimately with the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually, John 13, 17 actually says that. It says, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. You know, it's that kind of like, it's not just enough to know them, but the blessing comes from doing them. And I like to think about that. You know, I'm like, he created us. He's our Father. Yes. Like, he knows what's best for us. So he's just saying, like, I know what's best for you. I know what will bring the blessing. Like, if you'll just follow me and you'll just do what I say, like, your life will be so much, you know, so much. So that abundant life that he says he has for us is there for us. But it does come with actually obedience and doing what he says and following his commands, trusting him with our life, not believing that we got it all together.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about what you said, Corey, and what you said, Amanda. As it went with the kings, it went with the people. When things did not go well for the kings, things went terribly for the nation. Mm-hmm. And then when the kings returned, the people returned. And I think about even like the implications there in our lives, you know, and even what Dr. Grant said last week about, you know, it starts with our own selves.
Consecrating and ourselves. Like, and I think about the Levites.
Yes. Yeah. And like, and true worship. But the outpouring is rarely limited. The outpouring of our obedience and the blessings of our obedience is rarely limited to just us.
That's right. Yeah.
And I think that that's an important thing to remember.
Well, I think of everything as a parent in our home. Like, we know that in our home, you know, it's your home goes as you do. I remember when our kids were little, if I woke up in a grumpy mood and just was having a rough day, the kids were worse. They were fighting, you know, all the things. It really does depend on, you know, it has to come from who's at the top, who will follow, like the king, like you mentioned, the kings, the people. If the king didn't follow and didn't keep his commands, the people didn't either. And that happens in our homes as well.
Hey friends, taking a quick break to invite you to join us for our next reading plan following Lent. It's entitled A Living Hope, a Biblical Study of Resurrected Life in Christ. We're going to explore the wonder and implications of Jesus' resurrection and what it means for our life as believers. We're going to start that reading plan on Monday, April 10th. Now, if you missed your chance to order the study book, do not worry. You can get your digital copy of the study book at shopshereadstruth.com/hopedigital. And there you'll be able to buy your digital study book or legacy book. And once your purchase is complete, you'll receive a download link in a separate email, and then you'll have what you need to follow along just as if you had the physical study book. So that's shopshereadstruth.com/hopedigital. Go grab your Living Hope study book today. You know what floors me is the beauty of the Trinity. And a crucial part of this redemption story is the role of the Holy Spirit and how, you know, we'll read on Wednesday in John 15 and 16 that Jesus promises he not only provides a way for us, right, through the person and work of Christ, through his death and resurrection, but God also provides for us in the presence of his Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And so because you're like, how? How are we going to do this? And so much so, like it is such a precious gift that Jesus says to his disciples, it's actually better for you. It's for your benefit that I go away.
I have to go.
Yeah, because if I don't go away, then the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, you know, we have all these things. If you, as you read through the chapter, you can just kind of like circle the things that the Holy Spirit will do. He will remind us of the things that Jesus has taught. He will work in the world. It says when he comes, he'll convict the world about sin and righteousness and judgment. Our belief is through the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And so like just that really, really precious gift of the Spirit and how, what a provision that is for us that we don't, he did not leave us as orphans, you know, that he's in us in his Spirit and he's returning to us.
Yeah, I think that's John 15, 17, where he says, but you do know him because he remains with you and he will be in you. And so it's not like just like he's here with us, he's in us, which is just incredible to think about. And also, as you know, reading back in the Old Testament, like we're in a time where we can have the Spirit in us. It's not like we have to go to the Holy of Holies and consecrate ourselves and do all these rituals and things to try to get to God. He came to us and he is in us, not just here with us. It says he is in us.
Yes.
He dwells in us as a royal priesthood.
Yeah.
I always like to talk about us as a royal priesthood. It's one of my favorite things. I think ever since we had Louis Giglio on the podcast, maybe months ago at this point.
Yeah. He did get us fired up about that.
He got me very fired up. And now just about every episode, I'm like, because we're a royal priesthood.
Yeah. No, it's good.
But it's true.
That's so great. It's true.
Yeah. And if I'm a priest and I am interacting with anybody, boy, I hope the Holy Spirit shines through. I hope that the indwelling of the Spirit in my life makes a difference in that interaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the only way we can do it. You know, it is the only way because of ourselves, you know, we aren't enough. We don't have it all together. Amen. We are going to fail. But to know that we have the Spirit living in us and giving us strength. And you know, I always tell our kids when they were younger, you know, like all the scripture about do not fear. And like the only way we can live with that is knowing that we have the power of the one true God living inside of us. And so that's why we cannot fear, you know, in and of ourselves. Like, things are scary. You know, we're living in this world. Things are scary, but the knowledge of our hope and our future and that we have the Spirit with us, we can walk around this on this earth not fearing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of who God is and because of who we are in him.
In him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in his faithfulness.
Yeah. Okay. I love John 17, the high priestly prayer. I am humbled at the reality that we have access to this prayer. Like in the same way that, I can't remember one podcast guest, we were like, can you read Revelation 21 for us? And they were like, I just need to collect myself first because I can't believe that this scripture exists and is available to me. But like, I feel similarly about John 17. Like, it's divided into three sections. First, Jesus praying for himself, talking to the Father about himself, and then Jesus praying for his disciples, and then third, Jesus praying for all believers. And I don't care how many times I read that and how familiar it is to me, it is just to my core meaningful that to read words that Jesus prayed about me millennia before I was a twinkle in my mama's eye, you know?
Yeah.
Can we read some of the high priestly prayer just because I love it so much?
Yeah, let's do.
You're one of the hosts. You can say we'll read it. Yes, great. Do you want to read the part about Jesus praying for all believers, or do you want to start at the top? I see you have. I mean, I just love looking at Amanda's notes, you guys.
You can't go by what I've underlined.
It's the part of the recording that you don't get to see, but it's a highlight every time.
I have a very interactive relationship with my study books.
Corey,
can I just say, it's so interesting to me because when I'm reading out of my Bible, I underline differently because it's a little more precious.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But with a study book, it really frees me to just feel like I was literally
thinking about that 2 days ago because I was like, making a bunch of notes and like thinking about like asking questions in the margins. And then I was like, I would never do this in my physical Bible.
But maybe we should.
Maybe we should, or maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
No conclusion to that.
But. Well, I felt the same way. I love doing it this way too, because I'm like, I've got writing all over. You can't see mine either, but yes, writing all over things that struck me or questions that I had. I was like, okay, I need to go like read more about that. I need to learn more about that I don't know, or, you know, places where I just put big question marks beside,
100%.
I think that I love having it this way. And I do think the way, when we interact with scripture in a different way, it opens things up differently. I love to read. I'm a reader anyway. So I love to read scripture more like I'm reading a book, when you're looking at it in different forms, you can read it more like a book and you're following it in a different way of like, whoa, this is real. This is a true story. This is not just words printed on a page. This is a real life things that happened and that are happening right now. And just all the emotions of it, I think, come to you in a different way when you read it differently. So I love doing it this way as well.
It does for me too. Well, you all are going to read. So Jesus prays for himself and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I'll just pick a couple of verses to read. But he said, we talked last week about how this is not a once upon a time story. At the right time. And so Jesus spoke these things, looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Mm-hmm. The precise time, right,
has come.
Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you've given him authority over all people, so that he may give eternal life to everyone you have given him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. I'm just going to keep going. I've glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And he will say on the cross before he breathes his last, he will say, it is finished, which of course makes me think of a few weeks ago when Christy Onyebuile said, we were reading in Chronicles about all these kings and so many of them did not finish well, but Jesus finished well. And so he says here, like, I'm completing the work you've given me to do. And then he prays for his disciples, and it's so beautiful because it's a lot of like prayer of protection. And he knows, like, I'm leaving them here and sending them out into the world.
Yeah. He says, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Mm-hmm. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then down in verse 25, as he's praying for all believers, he says, Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you, and they have known that you sent me. I made your name known to them, and they will continue to make it known, so that the love you have loved me with may be in them, and I may be in them. And then there's even like up before that, these prayers for unity. Yeah. And
that's us, like what you just read.
Yeah.
I made your name known to them and will continue to make it known. Like, and he does that. We are a part of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote in my notes there just how beautiful it is the way Jesus glorified the Father. The Son glorifies the Father and the Father glorifies mm-hmm. the Son. Just that perfect unity and the beauty in that. I just was kind of stunned by that. And then he gets to that where he is, yeah, praying for us that we're mm-hmm. one as he and the Father are one. And what a challenge that is to us
right.
mm-hmm. on this earth, that as we as believers can be one as he and the Father is one. And I feel like that's, you know, a place that probably we fail a lot at mm-hmm. as believers in the church. And I think that, you know, this was some of his last words. So
yeah,
it is. We need to really take note that this uh-huh. is like really important that we yeah. figure this out, you know, that we figure this out as believers. We do, you know, we have a common enemy, you know, yes, as believers.
That's right.
We have an enemy, and how can an enemy pluck some of us off when we're not together? We're not as one. We're not,
it's good,
you know, understanding that unity that Jesus is calling us to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there are precious few words in that prayer, and they're devoted to unity for the sake of God's love continuing mm-hmm. to spread mm-hmm. out. And it's just like, oh, there's the main thing.
Yeah.
You know?
So here is my word of encouragement as we get to these last days of the week, which if y'all are listening to this on Monday, you've got some days. Maybe this is not true for you, but for me, I always have the best intentions of Holy Week to like make it even slower than any other day of the week yeah. or reading, and more especially reflective. That, yes, and that weekend, that Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday. But the reality, and I think that I might not be alone here, is that this is often a weekend where family comes in to visit, to celebrate Easter, or we're traveling. Kids are off from school on Friday a lot of times. Yeah. Like, our schedules actually get more upset that weekend because it is a high holy day. Like, it is. There's a good reason that our schedules get upset. But sometimes as a result, our schedules are upset.
We lose that rhythm.
And we lose our rhythm. And we miss the slow digging in engagement that we have every intention to make time for. Mm-hmm. And so this is me saying
to future Rachel this week.
I'm the problem, it's me. Is that what Taylor Swift says? Uh-huh. I don't know Taylor Swift very well, but I've heard that.
I'm actually very proud of that.
Thank you.
Good job.
But I don't think that it's just me. And so my encouragement, the reason I'm saying this is because I want to charge y'all, like Corey and Amanda and like all y'all listening, put it on your calendars, like block it in your schedule that you would read these Good Friday scriptures on Good Friday. Mm-hmm. If you have kids at home, read it to your kids too. Read it out loud.
That's
like
right.
It doesn't have to be like, find a way away from everybody. Like actually invite people in, like let this be a like, here's why grandma's traveling in this weekend, or here's why you're not in school this week. Like whatever it is, take that time and read those scriptures every day. It's a silly thing to be like, I don't think you'll regret it. But like, it matters that we read this and that we enter into this space. Because Amanda and Corey and I could read this for you right now. We could read the Good Friday scriptures, but I want you to read them on Good Friday.
Yeah.
That's such a good reminder, because it is so easy to be distracted in these moments and the way we celebrate these holidays. And there's so much distraction in it. And especially, you know, when we have young children in the home, and then there's the parties and the this and the all the things that happen. But that reminder of like why we are doing this, why we are celebrating, is just so important that we teach our children and we remind ourselves.
Yeah.
I love that.
Don't let the Easter egg hunt be the thing that keeps you from reading like the Good Friday scriptures.
That's a word, Rachel.
Ready to put on your steel toe boots.
Yeah.
But while we are here and together, so we debated this, y'all listening. Last year, you remember maybe that Jenny Allen was our guest, and she was such a fun guest for Holy Week. And then we paused, and we were like, we're not going to read Resurrection Sunday.
We're not going to spoil her.
It felt like we want to truly feel that weight. And so we actually did that as a separate episode. But I don't want to wait. I'm telling everybody that we're going to wait and read Good Friday on Good Friday, and the same with Holy Saturday. But I do want to end this episode with some like victory over the grave, King of Kings, like celebratory scriptures. Can we do that?
I mean, dare I say no?
Dare I say no?
Of course we can. Here's what I just, as you all read through those days on your own, having just read through Chronicles, listen to how Jesus talks about his kingship and his kingdom.
Yeah.
And what kind of kingdom it is. And think about the difference between even the kingdoms of Israel and Judah.
That's
and
right.
That the kingdom that Jesus is king of is even better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that is where we are citizens of that kingdom. And yes, this story that we're going to read is how our place in that kingdom and that kingdom itself is secure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely think we should end here because, you know, we call it the good news. We call it Good Friday. So like, what's right. good about this, you know?
Yes.
And so definitely yes, we need to end on the good news.
Agree.
It's like, do you want the bad news first?
Right. Or the good news first. Yeah. I like that. Thank you.
Let's
you
end
get
on
it.
The good news.
Yeah. Let's read it together. Corey, why don't you start us out in Luke 24? And then I'll hop in for the second paragraph, and then Amanda, you want to read the third?
Great.
Let's declare the good news.
That sounds good. Great. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground.
"Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day.'" And they remembered his words.
Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stopped to look in, he saw only the linen cloths. So he went away, amazed at what had happened.
And then Psalm 16, verse 9, "Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My body also rests securely, for you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. At your right hand are eternal pleasures." Thanks be to God.
Yeah, that's the word of the Lord,
hallelujah.
You guys. That's the good news, Corey.
That is the good news.
That's right. That's the best news.
That is the best news. The 7 weeks walking to the cross and the realization of the weight of our sin and the necessity for a Savior and like truly looking hard at the cross as the ultimate injustice mm-hmm. in all the world. No greater injustice has ever or will ever occur, but it was entered into voluntarily. No one takes my life. I lay it down. He gave his life and he entered into that so that we could be justified. And not only did he die, but he defeated death once Amen. And for all. And he rose from the dead. And thanks be to God that he continues to live.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Can't imagine the feeling of those disciples and all the people that were following him to find that and be like, yes. What we believed and this man that we followed all this time was the way, was exactly who he said he was. That was the moment where they understood like, oh, he was who he said he was.
Yeah.
For us, like this is where we know like, okay, this wasn't just talk. This wasn't just like some man mm-hmm. who could somehow tap in and perform miracles. This was the Son of God, the sacrificial lamb that was prepared for us and to save us from our sins and who has the power over life and death and the power for us to have eternal life. Yeah, that's the moment.
Amen.
That's it. I love that. And you guys, this is not the end of the story, right? Like Jesus
that's right.
rose from the grave. We get to read in our Bibles encounters that he has with people and his risen, mm-hmm. Glorified body that he sees his disciples and talks with his disciples and Thomas.
And the women.
To put, yes, and the women. Oh, the women. I have such a tender spot.
Mm-hmm.
But you all, after So after Resurrection Sunday, the following Monday, so a week from today, we'll start a new reading plan called A Living Hope. And it is about our resurrected life in Christ.
That's right.
And so we will read those encounters and we will read, like, what does this mean? Like, it's not, so Jesus rose from the grave. It's like the biggest now what ever, you know, like, what does this mean? And it means so much. And it is good news, like you said, Corey. And so I invite you all to join us next week for the beginning of that series, A Living Hope, where we will continue the story.
I'm so happy that we're jumping. Like, it feels like a, please don't leave us here.
Yeah.
I want to know what happens next. I, of course, we know, but like, I want to spend some time reading that. But I also feel like it's such a response moment.
Yes.
You know, we're like, so what? Like, what then? Like, what does that mean? And so to like actually get to walk out of Lent and then Holy Week and Resurrection Sunday and to go, okay, how does this change things?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to get to walk into that study, and that starts next Monday.
It does.
Corey, you are a wonderful guest. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope that you'll come back. Will you come back?
Of course, yes. I have loved it. It really was a joy to get to do this with y'all, so invite me back. I'll come.
Good. Oh, yes. All right. Well, friends listening, you've already gotten the sneak peek of what is coming next week, and you know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, be women in the Word of God every day this week, especially this week. And I just really, really want to encourage you, and I want to encourage you, Corey, and you, Amanda, to be women in the Word of God every day this week. I'm grateful for you guys. We will be back next week, but until next week, Corey, what do we tell our friends?
Keep opening your Bibles.